Hi, this is Pastor John Koopman of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor John Koopman of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Joan Tim in loving memory of Richard and Jeffrey. Today's reading is Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him, because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. After Absalom killed Amnon, he fled. Joab directed a theatrical scene between David and a pretend widow in order to convince David to welcome Absalom back to Jerusalem. In this dramatic scene, the actress recites a powerful line, "We must all die. We are like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. But God will not take away life. And he devises means so that the banished one will not remain an outcast." What a rich illustration she uses of water spilled on the ground. Two other times in the book of Samuel, water is poured on the ground. Once, when Samuel is judge, after the ark is returned to Jerusalem, he pours water upon the ground as a sign of repentance. A second time, David pours the water on the ground when his mighty men risked their lives to bring David water from Bethlehem. But perhaps the most powerful time is from Exodus, when Moses pours water from the Nile on the ground, and it becomes blood. Blood must be poured out, and the Lord knows this. God does not desire to destroy life, and so he devises means so that the banished one will not remain an outcast. This isn't only a reference to sanctuary cities for murderers in Israel, but it refers to the heart of God who deigns to redeem a sinful man from the curse of being like so much water spilled on the ground. Absalom deserved the full wrath of his father David. And we likewise deserve the full wrath of our Heavenly Father for our grievous sins against Him. Yet the Lord has devised means so that we would not remain an outcast. He commands you to look upon those means in the conclusion to today's psalm. With long life I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. More literally, the Lord is saying, I will make him look. And the words for salvation is Yeshua. The final words of Psalm 91 are, "I will make him look on Jesus." Because the means ordained by God to redeem you from the cursed fate of being poured out like water on the ground is Jesus, the Son of God. He drank the cup of the wrath of God to the dregs. He is the drink offering poured upon the ground at the base of the altar of the cross. From the pierced side of the Savior, water and blood spilled upon the ground, and the beloved apostle was made to look upon the Lord's salvation, fulfilling the scripture, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." Because his blood was spilled upon the ground, we whose bodies are returned to the earth, dust to dust, shall be gathered up again. The actress was wrong, since those who hold fast to the Lord in love shall be delivered. Even after our bodies have long decayed, in our flesh we shall see God for ourselves, and our eyes shall be made to look on him. For the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin, and he therefore raises us with him from death to life. Thus, he will command his angels concerning you. Apart from Christ, that is a terrifying statement. For angels are servants of the Most High God, and they serve to perform his holy will and carry out God's justice for the sake of the elect. The Lord sent angels with flaming swords to prohibit passage into the garden. He sent an angel to kill the firstborn in Egypt. He sent an angel to afflict the Israelites with pestilence, and he killed 70,000. He sent seven angels to carry the seven bowls of God's wrath. Like the avenger of blood, God sends his angels to smite the doers of evil. But on account of the blood of Christ, which atones for your sins and assuages the wrath of God, the Lord no longer sends his angels to crush you, but to bear you up. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Those words of the psalm are absolutely true and trustworthy. Even though Satan misuses that comforting promise of God in order to tempt Jesus to put God to the test, the promise is still valid. The misuse of that verse, even by Satan, doesn't negate the proper use. The Lord doesn't only send angels to be bearers of wrath, but to be ministers of grace. After all, the devil left Jesus and angels came and ministered to him. When Lot was dwelling in sin, angels dragged him to safety and away from God's wrath. When Elisha prayed for his servant, the Lord opened the eyes of his servant to see the mountain filled with horses and chariots of fire fighting for the deliverance of Israel. When common shepherds were in the pasture, an angel of the Lord directed them to see Jesus, their Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Isn't it funny that God sends his angels to defend his Christians who are in peril? He doesn't send angels when everything is going well, but he sends his angels to deliver his people when they are in immediate danger. The 91st Psalm isn't written for Christians who have never suffered, but it's written for Christians who are well acquainted with crosses of various kinds. Those who have been in war know what a refuge, fortress, arrow, shield, and buckler are. Those who have been sick understand pestilence and plague. Well, God uses these trials as wrath in order to bring us to repentance. He also uses them as means to direct us to Christ. And so the psalm is not a promise that you will be happy, healthy, and wealthy if you hold fast to the Lord in faith. Rather, the Lord intentionally directs us to walk in danger for the sake of our faith. The angels are sent to bear us up so that we do not strike our foot against a stone, but take note that this implies that we are still walking in a rocky place where we may strike our feet against stones. The fact that he promises to deliver us implies we have something from which to be delivered. In fact, the Lord goes so far as to bring us to the point where we will intentionally tread, trample, and stomp on the lion and the adder. He leads us into the lion's den, into Egypt, into Babylon, into pestilence, and into death, all because through Christ we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. On the cross, Christ didn't merely step on the serpent's head, but he crushed Satan beneath his nail-pierced feet so that you may trample on the devil. Like John Bunyan wrote, "No lion can him fright, he'll with a giant fight. Hobgoblin nor foul fiend can daunt his spirit. He knows he at the end shall life inherit." You dwell in a land infected with pestilence. Sometimes we call it COVID, other times cancer, sometimes the flu, other times heart disease. There's all sorts of medical and scientific research meant to decrease the prevalence of pestilence. Regardless of all of that, pestilence still clings to this corrupted creation like the plague. And the Lord uses it for the sake of his elect, so that the banished one will not remain an outcast. Instead of responding in fear and anxiety, respond and say to the Lord, "My refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Instead of seeking first a refuge in the hospital, first dwell in the shelter of the Most High and abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And then, secondly, turn to the doctors of this age. For the Lord is your dwelling place. He is your refuge. If pestilence has dropped you to your knees in agony, and thousands are falling prey to the sickness on either side of you, remember, it is the Lord who lifts you up to your knees so that you may repent and call on the name of the Lord, and he will answer you. Sickness and death will come for you and your loved ones, as it does for all. We all must die. It will leave you grotesque and disfigured, the shell of the person God created you to be. You will be poured out like water, and all of your bones will be out of joint. Your strength will be dried up like a potsherd. Your tongue will stick to your jaws. You will be laid in the dust of death. When you see this happening to others and you see this happening to yourself, the Lord is forcing you to look. He's gripping your head in his hands and he won't let it turn away as much as you would like it to. Your gaze cannot be averted. He's holding your eyes open. Because when you look upon the agony of death in the body of a Christian, the Lord is making you look on Jesus, your Savior. For every dying Christian who has been clothed in the robe of Christ's righteousness is being pressed into the image of Christ, so that in the weakest moments of our life, the Lord forces the image of our Jesus, our Savior, before our eyes. He will deliver us. He will satisfy us with long life in the age to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this devotion of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2180. God bless you.